Shalom today, the 22nd day of the month of Kislev of the year 5777, corresponding to the 22nd of December of the year 2016. And we continue now with our studies of Tractate Chulin, Masechet Chulin, in Chapter 8, where we have reached the third Mishnah of the chapter, Mishnah Gimel. And we are now coming to a very critical and interesting Mishnah in which we shall be learning many basic concepts in the laws of Kashrut. And I would like to emphasize that you do not go to the Mishnah to learn the Halakha. We come to the Mishnah and to the concept in the Mishnah as a way of understanding the underlying concepts of the Torah, but with respect to any given mitzvah, any given area. And in order to understand the Mishnah properly, we have to go to the Talmud, where each tractate of the Talmud deals with the respective Mishnahs of that tractate and discusses the meaning of the Mishnah, analyzes it. And one of the great advantages of the commentary of Rabbi Ovadia of Bartanura, who is our main classical commentator on the Mishnah, is that he gives us a very concise digest of the discussion in the Talmud and the conclusion of the discussion. Nevertheless, we cannot go to the Mishnah for halacha. However, as I say, we do go to the Mishnah to see some of the fundamental concepts, and our Mishnah in each tractate and in each chapter often jumps from subject to subject, bringing in related issues, and some of them may be relevant to our times and others not. And so it's with that in mind that we come to the third Mishnah of Chapter 8 of Chulin, which deals with issues in the prohibition of the cooking together of meat and milk. And we'll go into some related issues. Let us first of all get a pshat, a simple meaning of the Mishnah here, Mishnah Gimel. Tipas cholov, a drop of milk, shenoflo al achasicho, that fell on a piece of meat. This is a piece of meat that is cooking in the pot, but it's actually, as we shall see, for the purpose of understanding this Mishnah, the particular piece of meat on which the nightmare scenario of milk falling is sitting outside the gravy. Let us conceive there is a pot on the stove of pieces of meat that are seething in a gravy with perhaps vegetables and other components in there. So our Mishnah is setting up the nightmare scenario where actually meat and milk are getting cooked together, and what is the extent of the damage here? So to continue with the simple meaning of our Mishnah, im yesh bo benoisein tam boiso hasicho, if there is in it, in a mode of putting taste, giving taste into that piece, that is to say, if there is in that tipat chalav, that speck of milk, if there isn't that sufficient benoisein tam of giving taste into oiso chasicho, that hunk of meat that it fell on, asur, the hunk of meat is forbidden. Let's just go on a bit. Ni'er es hakadero. However, if the person, as soon as the spot of milk dropped on the piece of meat that was sticking out, if he immediately stirred up and shook the pot so that the piece of meat on which the drop fell has now gone under the gravy and gone mixed up with the other pieces. Im yesh bo benoisein tam be'oiso kadero. If there is in that drop of milk sufficient to give taste into all of the pot, the whole contents, with the gravy, with all the other pieces, asur, then only then will that mixture be considered forbidden. In other words, the first point to make is that we have with meat and milk, as with other prohibitions, the concept of bittul b'shishim, the nullification of the prohibition if there is 60 times the quantity of the prohibited food, 60 times in the rest of the pot. This is a basic principle that applies to meat and milk as it applies to nevela, if unkosher meat got into a pot of kosher meat. The concept of bittul b'shishim, the nullification of the prohibition in 60 times the quantity. And that comes into our Mishnah here. However, the Mishnah has set up this situation intentionally to give us a teaching about the piece of meat that was sitting outside the gravy. If the person immediately, when the drop of milk fell onto the piece of meat, he stirred the pot, so this drop of milk has not yet had time to get into the piece of meat it fell on, and immediately the juices and the milk will all in the seething gravy there in the pot on the stove, it all get mixed up together. So now the quantity of milk, in order to be nullified, has to be a quantity that will not put taste into the whole pot. But now, if the piece of meat was not stirred up in the pot, but it was sitting on top of other pieces outside of the gravy at the time the milk fell on it, what is going to happen is that the milk is going to penetrate into that piece of meat. Now, in a case of a different kind of prohibition, let's say that juices of an unkosher animal fell on a kosher piece of meat. The juices that fell on the kosher piece of meat, which was sitting on top of the other pieces outside of the gravy, if that piece of meat later on falls into the gravy, the amount of unkosher food that gets mixed up in the gravy and with all the pieces of the meat, if it was nevela, unkosher meat generally, is only the quantity of the juice that originally fell on the piece of kosher meat while it was sitting outside the pot. But the issue of basar v'chalav is different, because with other kinds of prohibited foods like nevela, unkosher meat, or unkosher fish, the prohibition is of consuming that particular thing, which is intrinsically non-kosher. In the case of meat and milk, the prohibition is not consuming them only, but it's expressed in the Torah three times by the phrase, do not cook the kid in its mother's milk. It's an issue of cooking. And although meat intrinsically, kosher meat, has no issue, it's kosher, and kosher milk has no issue, when the two are cooked together, this creates a new situation. In the case of our lump of meat sitting on top of the gravy, when the drop of milk lands on the piece of meat, if there was enough milk fell onto the meat to put the taste into the whole of that lump of meat is now itself in the status of nevela. The whole lump is called chaticho nases nevelo. The lump has been turned into an item of nevela, unkosher meat. Before the milk fell, it was perfectly kosher. The milk was kosher, the meat was kosher, but now it had become nevela. So now if that piece, after it's got the milk in it, now falls back into the gravy, it's not only the small quantity of milk that is going to mess up the rest of the gravy and the other pieces in the pot, but every piece of juice that is in that lump that the milk fell on, every piece of juice that is exuded into the rest of the gravy and the other pieces, it's all considered unkosher, not just the quantity of meat, but everything is unkosher because it's a piece of meat that's cooked been cooked with milk when the drop penetrated that lump. And since we don't know exactly how much juice is going to be exuded from the lump of meat, we have to suppose that the entire lump of meat is now in the status of unkosher meat. And if it gets mixed in with the rest of the pot, we have a problem. And so let us go back now to our Mishnah and look again at, in the light of what we've heard, about what it's saying. Mishnah 3 of chapter 8 of Chulin, Tipas Cholov, a drop of milk, Shenoflo al Achasicho, that fell on the piece of meat, as I've said, was outside the gravy, on the top of the others. Im yesh bo benoy sentam, if in the drop of milk there was sufficient to put taste into the meat, be'oiso chasicho, in that piece alone, because it was sitting outside the gravy, also that piece is going to be forbidden. That now is turned into nevela. But since the if you were able to extract the lump of meat that the milk fell on immediately, that lump of meat is forbidden, but everything else in the pot is okay. Now, the second scenario, ni'ir es hakedera, where the person shook up the pot immediately after the drop of milk landed on the piece that was outside it, or if the piece was half submerged in gravy and the milk fell on it, or if the drop of milk fell into the gravy. So then, if you shook it all up, im yesh bo b'noisentam b'oiso kedero, if there was in the drop of milk, the amount of milk that fell in, sufficient to put taste into the whole of the rest of the pot, all of its contents, also, everything will be forbidden under the prohibition of the consumption of meat and milk that were cooked together. But if not, if the drop of milk fell into the pot and there was not sufficient for it to give substantial taste into the meat, then we permit the whole pot. That is a case of bittel b'shishim, where it is if there's no taste, its presence is negligible and may be ignored. Well, now in the continuation of Mishnah Gimel, we come to a law which is of great interest in the laws of meat and milk, although perhaps less regularly found in the kitchens of our times, and that relates to a particular piece of the female animal, which is her udder. Hakchol. The kachol is the udder of the animal that has been slaughtered in a kosher way. And the question which our Mishnah is now addressing is this kachal itself unkosher? Because when the animal is slaughtered, if it was a mature female that had been particularly feeding or producing milk, so the kachal, the udder, actually has in it milk, except that the milk is not yet separated from the udder as it would when the cow was milked. So the question which our Mishnah is dealing with is, what is the status of the udder? Can it be cooked and eaten as meat? Because the udder itself is basar, it is meat. So our Mishnah tells us, koir'oi, you have to tear it. He tears it, in other words, he rips the udder open. U'mitzi es chalovoi, he's got to take out its milk. The milk has to be squeezed out of the udder, as the poskim tell us. We have to squeeze it against the wall until all of the moisture inside this tissue of the udder has gone out, and then it may be eaten. That is milachatchila, what you have to do in the first instance. Now, the issue about this milk is that since it's not yet separated from the mother cow, it can't really be described as milk in the way that the Torah is speaking about milk in the prohibition of cooking the kid in the mother's milk, of cooking meat in milk. Is this the milk that is being referred to? Is the milk here that is being, we have to be wary of with the kachal, with the udder, is this really in the status of milk? Well, that is what the Mishnah now addresses in the ensuing section. Leikroi, if the person did not tear it open, eno over olov, he does not transgress over this. The meaning of these words of the Mishnah are that if the person cooked this kachal, this udder of the animal, separately, it would be permissible to eat it because there is no actual transgression of the Torah prohibition of cooking meat with milk. There is a rabbinical prohibition on the kachal to cook it melchatchila without having torn it and taken out the milk. But if the person cooked it b'diavad, he is not liable to the prohibition, having transgressed the prohibition of eating meat and milk. Well, now, our Mishnah, having spoken about the law of ripping open the kachal, now turns to a similar case of the need to rip over another very important part of the body of the animal before cooking it, and that is the heart. Halev, the Mishnah now goes on to address the question of the consumption of the heart, and the problem is that when the animal is slaughtered, at the time of the slaughter, blood is going to gush out from the Beis HaShechita, from the place of the slaughter, namely the windpipe and gullet area where the shochet slaughters the animal. The blood at the same time is also going to gather in the heart. And let me just say, as we now come to an issue relating to the prohibition of the Torah of the consumption of blood, I'd like to point out that the Torah prohibition of blood has to be refined somewhat. We've already looked at the passages that speak about the prohibition of blood in the book of Leviticus, in the parasha of Achrimot. Now, in the animal, there are two kinds of blood, and the prohibition of one of them is much more severe than the prohibition of the other. The blood that gushes out at the time of the shechita, and likewise the blood that gathers in the heart at the time of shechita, within the cavities of the heart, that blood has the most stringent of all prohibitions. The blood from the throat has to go onto the altar in the case of temple sacrifices, and the blood from the throat is strictly prohibited for consumption on pain of karet, the biblical penalty of the excision of the soul. There is another kind of blood, and that is the blood that is absorbed in the tissues of the animal, as it is in all of us. There is blood flowing through the capillaries of the body into all of the parts of the body. And this is called the dam ha'evarim, the blood of the limbs. It is this blood that we are intent on removing when, after the animal has been slaughtered kosher and after it's been portioned, we salt the animal. The effect of the salt is to open the pores and the capillaries in the flesh, and the blood oozes out. But the level of prohibition of the blood of the evarim, the limbs, is different from that of the blood coming from the shechita cut and in the heart. The blood that is absorbed in the limbs that we are required to draw out through salting, or it can also be done when the piece of meat is roasted over an open fire, and also the fire will draw out the blood from the meat. I'm giving you a very general digest of these laws, but let us understand that the dam ha'evarim, the blood absorbed in the body tissues besides the heart and the shechita blood, the prohibition is a lav. It is a prohibition, but not a prohibition carrying the penalty of karet. If a person willfully and knowingly consumed the blood of the limbs, then the penalty would be the 40 lashes, but not of karet. So this is the background to understanding our Mishnah now, which has some subtleties of its own. We have here, in the middle of Mishnah Gimel, Halev, the heart, Koir Oi, he must cut it open, Umoitzi Es Domoi, and take out its blood. Leikaroi Eino Oiver Olov, if the person did not tear the heart open prior to the cooking of the heart of the creature, he is not transgressing. He is not oiver. He is not being oiver, transgressing a prohibition in that. Well, what exactly is happening here? According to our commentary of Rav Ovadia Mibar Tanura, first of all, let us understand that the reason why the heart must, from the outset, be cut open is to remove the blood that may have gathered there at the time of the shechita. The question is, what is our Mishnah doing, telling us that if the person did not cut it open, he would not be transgressing? The Talmud explains that what he would not be transgressing would be liable to the penalty of karet. And according to the Talmud in Tractate Kresos, which deals with sin offerings and the atonement for these kinds of transgressions, our Mishnah here is deduced to be talking about the heart of a bird that had been slaughtered, a kosher bird that had been slaughtered kosher. If he did not cut open the heart and remove the blood, he's not going to be liable to the prohibition of karet. And the reason is that the sages knew that there will never be an olive size of blood in the heart of a bird. Our Mishnah is deduced not to be talking about animals. Our Mishnah is deduced as being talking about a bird, but the bottom line is that if it were the blood of an animal, even if he did not cut open the heart and then consumed the blood in the heart, he would be liable, God forbid, to the penalty of karet. However, if he had not cut it open before the cooking and only after the cooking, if he removed the blood, that is a less serious case, because the membranes of the cavities of the heart, the inside membranes, are not permeable by blood. So even if it had been cooked with the blood in it, the meat of the heart would not thereby be forbidden. Because if he removed the blood, he would not be liable for any prohibition. Well, now in the closing section of Mishnah Gimel, the third Mishnah of Chulin, chapter 8, we enter the interesting subject of the meat of birds and whether you may or may not consume the meat of birds with milk. Hamale es ho'oif ima givino ala shulchon. If somebody brought up meat of poultry, a bird, together with cheese on one of the same table, eino oiver b'loisasa, he is not transgressing a prohibition of the Torah. We will see that there is a dispute among our sages about the degree of prohibition of the meat of birds. The accepted opinion is that the meat of birds is forbidden to be consumed with milk as a gzera midrabanan, as a decree from the sages. And they put this decree forbidding the consumption of poultry cooked with milk because the meat of poultry could easily be confused with the meat of an animal, which is forbidden from the Torah. There is a much more radical opinion, which is not the accepted opinion of the Talmud, but which we will be encountering later on in this chapter, and that is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, one of the Tanaim, the rabbis of the Mishnah, who held that the meat of birds was not even forbidden for consumption by the rabbis, let alone not by the Torah. That is a very radical position, which we shall come to when we come to discuss the the next Mishnah, in our next session. But for now, let us understand the closing words of Mishnah Gimel, the third Mishnah of Chulin, chapter 8. Hamale esa ofem agivin al shulchan. So if somebody already put poultry with cheese, with a milk dish on the same table, in over below sas, our Mishnah is telling us he's not transgressing a prohibition, certainly not putting, by putting the poultry on the table with the cheese, that is not even a transgression, is not a transgression against a Torah prohibition. It is not advised to do that. We already saw the conflict, the dispute between the house of Shammai and the house of Hillel about the permissibility of putting poultry on the same table with cheese, but it's not a Tara prohibition that the person is transgressing. The issue here is whether you can even put it there on the table in the first place, where the Mishnah tells us, in over below Sase, he's not transgressing any prohibition. The Mishnah is telling us that there is no intrinsic prohibition from the Torah of consuming chicken with milk. The prohibition, our Mishnah is implying, is midrabbonon, from the rabbis. And that is the issue which our Mishnah in Dalit will continue to, and this we will save for our next session.